This is a Locker Room Production.
What's shaking, Red Nation? It is Jeremy Brenner here, back with another episode of The Dream Take, presented by The Dream Shake. And I'm super excited for this because it finally feels like we're doing a podcast about actual super duper important Rockets stuff. And I'm super excited about this episode. I've got my boy Michael Brown coming on up here with me. It's been a while, Mike, since we've been together, but you know, together we are here at last. How are you?
I missed you. It's been forever.
Oh, that's so sweet.
No, man, all good. All is good. Watching the Denver-Portland game actually right now.
Yeah, you know, I think it's funny how we decided to do this right in the middle of, you know, two elimination games tonight. But honestly, if you really think about it, the Rockets season starts now. So that's more important than any other team season as far as I'm concerned.
Facts. Facts only. It's been a very interesting playoffs, I think, though. I think, do you have a particular series that has your attention more than any other, or are you just watching the overall playoffs?
You know, it definitely feels different watching the playoffs and not having a dog in the fight, you know?
Yep.
But I'll say this, I had Suns Nets as my finals pick, and right now I'm sticking with it. And it might totally change on Saturday. On Saturday, the Suns could be, you know, not even in the playoffs, but I'm sticking with it. I really like how the Suns have played, and I would hate for them to be seen as the team that, oh, they got in because the Lakers are hurt kind of thing. No, the Suns are where they are right now because they deserved it. They've won these games. It's not like they've lost these games, or the Lakers have lost these games. The Suns played really well in the series. So I'm hoping that the Suns can pull it out tonight. I'd really like to see Chris Paul have some kind of playoff success. I'm rooting for all the former Rockets in the playoffs. We will have, you know, a former Rocket that was part of that 2018 team that is going to be in the NBA Finals, because you have Clint Capella with the Hawks, you have Daryl Morey with the Sixers, you have James Harden with the Nets, and you have PJ Tucker with the Bucks. So one of those Rockets that was on that 2018 team, I mean, if you count Daryl Morey, will be in the NBA Finals this year.
Yeah, it's crazy. Is it? I had a little bit of a horror flashback. Chris Paul on a team that's up 3-2 has to win one of the next two games. I mean, it's a little different because he got hurt at halftime of the fifth game. So Phoenix is the better team. Like, top to bottom, Phoenix is a better team than LA. Anthony Davis going down is exposing that roster for the Lakers, like I said was going to happen at the beginning of the playoffs, but I don't want to say I told you so. Not you, but like the writing was on the wall. Phoenix is a good team. Like, Phoenix is a really good team. And I love LeBron lose.
It feels so very similar to the Rockets from 3 years ago. It really does. There are some shades there for sure.
Yeah, and doesn't hate to see, you know, I don't hate seeing LeBron lose, so that's pretty fun. Congrats to Clint Capella and the Hawks. That's a good series. I feel like the Knicks underachieved. Everybody I see is saying that, oh, they're the, you know, they did great, you know, they overachieved. What? They went out the first round. How did they overachieve? That's ridiculous, especially with a coach like Tom Thibodeau. And Atlanta's good too. Like, Atlanta spending all that money on their free agents. I mean, Atlanta's a really good team. But I think the Knicks flamed out, you know. They've got a lot of work to do on their roster too. But very entertaining playoffs from the beginning. I think there's been a lot of great series so far.
Yeah, so a little bit of some housekeeping for the listeners here. I see that there are some people already requesting to speak, and I really appreciate that. But tonight's episode is going to be a little bit different. We do have a guest that's coming in. He told me he's having some technical difficulties, so he'll hopefully join us here in a little bit. But for the next several weeks, we are going to have these profile podcasts on arguably the top five players on the big board. We start tonight with Jalen Green and Jonathan Kuminga. Then in a couple of days, probably sometime early next week, we'll have a Jalen Suggs podcast where we'll dive deep into all of Jalen Suggs and his draft profile. Then we'll have Evan Mobley. And then, of course, the consensus number one overall pick, Cade Cunningham. And that'll lead us into the draft lottery night on June 22nd. We're hoping, we thought about it for a couple months. We need to plan a little bit more, but we are going to have a live reaction room here. And then afterwards, we're going to have a podcast where we, you know, break it all down, talk about it. It's going to be a fun night. Hopefully, it's going to be a fun night. But we're, whether it's fun, not fun, incredibly sad, incredibly exciting, we're going to be doing it together as a family here on the Locker Room app. So be sure to download that app if you don't have it, if you're listening to us on demand, or if you're joining us here tonight, thank you to our loyal crowd tonight that is coming to listen. You can join us then on June 22nd. We'd love to have you. More details will be coming soon about that night, and it's gonna be a whole party, Mike. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking about wearing pants during the show, so it's gonna be a heck of a party.
Yeah, I mean, hey, anytime Mike's wearing pants is a good thing, so we'll take that. but before we have our guest come on, he's still having those technical difficulties. We probably should touch on Matt Bullard and the not renewing of his contract from AT&T Sports. Mike, you and I talked about this, and I think your reaction is a little bit different than mine, so I'm going to let you explain your side of how you feel about it before I give a foil.
Sure. So, reading into his comments, first of all, the fact that there was no conversation, it was, we're not renewing it. There was no back and forth, I think is a really bad look for the Rockets, first of all. Matt Bullard is a guy that has long talked about the fact that he wants to be a lifelong Rocket. He wants to be a part of the organization for the rest of his career. This is yet another example of a changing of the guard with this team. And it further confirms that there's a culture problem going on with the Houston Rockets. And you don't lose in a span of 12 months your Bill Worrell, Matt Bull. You don't get rid of Matt Bullard. You don't lose Bill Worrell. You had Tad Brown step down. You've traded both of your superstars in Russell Westbrook and James Harden from last year's team. So that was less than a year ago. And you've lost your general manager and your head coach from last year. That's not a coincidence. Now, if you want to look
Mike, the important thing here is separating the fact that this was a move done by AT&T Sports Southwest and not the Houston Rockets. That's from what we know. That's what we know. You know, there are two separate entities here.
You better believe, and I'm not saying you, Jeremy Brenner, I'm saying that this type of call starts at the head of the franchise. Because those are your ambassadors for the franchise. Those are the voices.
No, they're not. The ambassadors for the franchise are the players.
Okay.
The players first and foremost. Matt Bullard leaving the Rockets doesn't change anything about next year's team. It doesn't. It doesn't change anything about the next year's team, in my opinion.
No, it doesn't. But it says a lot where, like, this guy is giving you nothing but great content. Like, do you think Matt Bullard is good at his job? I think he's great.
No, absolutely. And this has nothing to do with Matt Bullard and his ability to do his job. Obviously, he's, you know, done a really good job as he's, you know, become a staple into many Houstonian homes. But honestly, at this point, Matt Bullard leaving the Rockets, Bill Worrell leaving the Rockets, does nothing to the product on the court. The product on the court is not going to be any different, better or worse, without those two guys.
No, but it affects the diehard fan.
If anything, it's a new era. And we're going to get new people that will introduce us into this new era.
I don't disagree with you. What I was going to say is the diehard fans who have known Bill and have known Matt for so long, the franchise is taking a heck of a risk in trusting that they're going to find talent outside of these individuals that will translate when they have this new changing of the guard, as you've called it.
We should
now.
Apply,
I think it's possible. Well, if the Rock,
you think people would watch us?
Who? Me and you?
Yeah.
Oh, we would win awards. There's
exactly.
No doubt.
See, that's what I'm saying, though. Yeah. There are other people than Bill and Matt. And to be honest, this is something that I haven't really seen yet. But let's assume Bill Worrell stayed another year. Let's just say, mm-hmm. I think Matt Bullard would have stayed another year. I think that would. I think that it was a domino effect.
Yeah, move. I think it's a great point. To me, there are two guys that you can replace Bullard with that I would be happy with. One is Calvin Murphy, and the second is Vernon Maxwell.
Well, I don't think the thing about Calvin Murphy is he was the color guy for as long as he was, and then he transitioned into a different role. So I don't think he's going to go back into that role. I think, honestly, it'll be interesting to see. I'm obviously there's probably so many guys out there, and chances are the guy that's going to be the guy is probably someone that we haven't really thought of. Ideally, you would want someone that's an ex-Rocket that is doing your color, but that isn't necessarily the case for all color teams or all broadcast teams across the league. I'm curious to see how they go about it. Maybe adding Vernon Maxwell does, you know, give you that look, watching a game where Vernon Maxwell is talking about basketball is very different than watching Matt. It's just it'll be a different experience. And I think the thing is, Rockets basketball is a different experience now than it was last year, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and we're approaching a new era. And I think having a new face of that era or a new voice for that era isn't necessarily a terrible thing.
No, I agree with you to a certain extent. The worry that I have is this is yet another move that they're just cleaning house and they're starting over their culture. Now,
is that a bad thing? That's the thing. I don't see that as a bad thing. In fact, I see it as a good thing.
I see it
change
as
is good.
Yeah, I think it's good if they get I don't think you should bring in a guy who has no familiarity with the franchise as the color guy. Like, I think they're gonna move Craig Ackerman into Worrell's spot. That's a natural. Like, he'll be the permanent guy, which I love Ackerman. I think Ackerman's fantastic.
And I think Craig Ackerman will do a good job with whoever they bring in, and that'll be like a good hybrid of someone who's familiar with someone who's new.
Yeah. Ackerman and Vernon Maxwell will be must listen to because they're both passionate guys. They bring some fire. They bring some energy. I think Bullard did that. That's what I want in the – I agree with you. They're your TV guys, but they also are the quickest pipeline from the Rockets organization, what's happening on the court, to the fan. And you cannot mess those types of hires up. So, and this is a big move for the Rockets. I mean, the fact that they have to replace Worrell and Bullard in the same year is not easy. It's not an easy feat. And if they get it right, great. But that's the dream match for me is, and I want to hear who you think it would be. Mine is Vernon Maxwell and Craig Ackerman. I think that would be a home run changeover for next year and beyond.
Yeah, I'm very curious to see how it goes. It'll be an interesting change. You know, things aren't meant to last forever, and I know it feels like forever because, you know, Matt Bullard has been with the organization for, you know, the better part of 25 years. Bill Worrell has been, you know, for even longer. And change can be difficult for some people. I think that's the difference between you and me. And, like, because you have a slightly longer history of, you know, viewing and following the Rockets than I do. And that's kind of how we look at things. Like, yes, Bill Worrell and Matt Bullard are part of my childhood and, you know, my early adulthood. But that doesn't necessarily mean it can be someone else. Look, I mean, the Astros broadcast, you know, TK and Blum, they came in, you know, just a couple of years ago. And they are a joy to watch, in my opinion. I mean, for those that know, you know, Houston Astros, you know, baseball and follow the team and watch those games, they make the broadcast, you know, they make the broadcast much more interesting for me. So incorporating a new group, we could get the next Blum and TK possibly. Who knows?
Yeah. And I, you know, I think another couple names to look at, I think Mario Elie, you know, he's done some fill-in work in the post-game and the pre-game. I think Elie would be spectacular as well. Do they go? It's hard, man. It's hard to look at it and say that they are going to go in, you know, a non-player, ex-player route. I'll tell you another guy to look out for is Tracy McGrady. I would hate that hire, but it would not shock me if he was the new color guy.
I think it would shock me. That would shock me.
I mean, as a guy who has done a ton of TV work on ESPN, though, it's not like...
Exactly. Why would he leave ESPN for Houston?
I'm just saying, that's the type of guy, that's the type of hire that I could see this front office making. I'm going to leave it out there because...
But Mike, it's not necessarily the front office that makes those decisions.
It has a huge influence, though. Like, AT&T Sports, they're in...
This is the first time AT&T Sports as a company has been able to really make their own decision on this hire. And that is what they are doing with this. They're making their own choice here. This whole thing with Tillman Fertitta has to stop. This whole, like, it always happens. I always have to nip it in the bud, and then it pops up again. It's like a pimple. Like, this pimple Fertitta, like, that's what it is. And the thing is, it's not even that, like, big of a deal. Like, a pimple is a pimple at the end of the day. A pimple is harmless at the end of the day, to be honest.
Whoa, whoa. So the thing is that, hold on. Tillman Are you Fertitta, saying Fertitta is harmless? Are you saying Fertitta is harmless? Is that what you're saying?
He is harmless.
Okay. So his franchise.
He's not doing anything. He's not doing decisions. He's the point. Letting all the decisions go to Rafael Stone in terms of basketball decisions. That has been, you know, that has been made a very vocal. That has been vocalized several times already. And it seems like every time that's vocalized, people think it's wrong. I don't understand why, you know, it's like saying, I say the sky is blue, and then everyone is like, oh, the sky is red.
Well, okay.
If we say the sky is blue, the sky is fucking blue.
But what is the common denominator? So my point
is... The sky is the common denominator.
Well, okay, yes, there. Yes, you are right. The sky is blue. My question, when it comes to this franchise, what is the common denominator in all of these decisions? Daryl Morey, Tad, all of these guys leaving, it cannot simply be that it was just time for them to move on.
Mike, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
How long have you worked where you work?
6.5 years.
Okay. Before that, where'd you work?
Grimaldi's Pizzeria.
Okay. When it was time to move on from Grimaldi's, which is delicious, they should be our sponsor, honestly.
Good pizza.
In Sugarland, yes. But when you left Grimaldi's, did you want to? Like, was it time?
The management was awful.
It was time to move on.
Well, it was time to move on because of management. Like, I see where you're going.
Well, maybe they shouldn't be our sponsor.
My decision to move on.
About their management.
Well, no, but it's combined. Like, I see what you're saying, but it's a combination, right? Like,
well, so much for them being our sponsor.
Well, yeah, I mean, the manager sucks, but the pizza's fantastic. Go see Carolina.
Yes, great pizza. Mm-hmm.
Great salads too. But the thing, the difference is, Daryl. I'll give you a perfect example. Daryl Morey said, "Oh, I want to go spend more time with my kids. I want to do this." He lied to us because he was done with working with Tillman Fertitta. Because you don't take a job 6 days later like you did in Philadelphia. If he, like, that type of job just doesn't pop up. He had that plan, and he was done working with Fertitta.
I think there was more than just that. And
okay,
even if it was that. Look, the thing is, at the end of the day, people leave for new opportunities all the time. It's just the time. And it's not necessarily, you know, because the thing is, he got a promotion when he went to Philly. So, look, not everything has to be Tillman Fertitta's fault. That's what I want to get out of this, is just because Tillman Fertitta is the owner of the Rockets does not mean every single thing falls on him. And yes, he is the face of the of, you know, but in my opinion, like, when I think of the Rockets, I don't think of Tillman Fertitta. I think of Kevin Porter, Christian Wood, whoever this new draft pick is going to be, and Steven Silas. That's what I care about with this Rockets team. But that's my two cents on the issue. Feel free to wrap a bow on it before I move on, Mike.
So what I will say is you do make a good point, and I think it's unfair to blame Fertitta directly. So what I will, from now on, I will say that there is a culture problem with the franchise that is owned by Tillman Fertitta, because something is going on. We don't know what it is yet, but you and I both know, and all of Rockets Nation knows, that this is not normal. You don't lose the type of players and front office personnel that they have lost in the last 12 months. That doesn't happen every day.
Yeah, but they had a damn good run, and they had a run that are longer than most NBA teams do. That's kind of where I want to put it. And the thing is, sometimes we have new players. And speaking of which, we're going to have new players coming to us in the NBA draft next month. And I'm super, super excited to welcome our guest for this episode. He had some technical difficulties. It's been a long day for him, but we really super greatly appreciate him coming on the show. It's Dakota Schmidt. He writes, and he can tell us more about his role with Ridiculous Upside on SB Nation. But Dakota, thank you so much again for appearing on the Dream Take today. How are you?
Hey, can you guys hear me?
We can hear you perfect, loud and clear.
All right, great, great. Sorry about the delay. It took way too long to have to download a 5 megabyte update.
Yeah, but honestly, it's all good because we got to talk about a lot. But yeah, sorry.
All right,
appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, I am happy to be on here to talk about some G League Ignite prospects that will be entering the draft. I actually just finished up a piece I've been working on all day about a player that I think will probably be seen in the G League next year if he sticks in the draft. And Jose Alvarado from Georgia Tech. I'm a big fan of his game. But yeah, I am excited to be here to talk about G League Ignite prospects, because the G League Ignite is such a unique venture, sign that the D League continues to grow tremendously on a year by year basis, and it's just exciting. I'm tired, so my vocabulary might not be as broad as it usually is, but again, I'm hyped to be here.
Hey man, your knowledge is all that we're looking for. But you know, yeah, I love that you mentioned G League Ignite and the growth the G League has had. You know, we haven't really seen – the G League, you know, started out as kind of like the minor leagues of the NBA, and to an extent it still is, but it's also becoming a developmental league, and it's becoming a springboard for some of these prospects. And we could see two top five picks in this draft come from that G League Ignite team. So just to give a look for our listeners – can you describe a little bit what G League Ignite is, what it does, and why Jalen Green and Jonathan Kuminga may have decided to go and join G League Ignite in the bubble, and why they should be seen as some of the best prospects in this draft?
Okay, so G League Ignite is a venture that actually has been in the works for around – geez, because of COVID, like my because of how COVID has been over like last year, my concept of time has kind of been messed up. All right, the G League Ignite is actually a process that's been around for around, I think, the years with the introduction of the select contract system in the winter, like November, December, 2018, where it gave an incentive for, you know, high school players to sign G League contracts. At the time, it was $125,000. And besides the $125,000, there was a lot of uncertainty about what would happen to those prospects after they signed G League contracts. In, 2019, Obviously, the top prospects that decided to go pro, RJ Hampton, LaMelo Ball, they didn't go to the G League. They went to Australia, so the G League had to make some changes, which takes us to 2020. The G League makes some changes to their contract process, where they have one team, the Ignite. They up the amount for money that they give to prospects. So it's up to, reportedly, half a mil for, two of the players that we're going to be talking about tonight. And yeah, the Ignite, one team, have prospects, have bets together stationed on a team, in California. And yeah, that what takes us to the time that Jalen Green and Jonathan Kuminga signed last year.
Yeah, and the thing is, this is only going to, grow. It wouldn't surprise me in the next 5 years if the number one overall pick happens to come from the G League Ignite program and all of that. So let's just dive into these guys right now. So what we're doing for the next several episodes, Dakota, just to kind of fill you in, is we're going to look at every one of the top five prospects on most people's big boards. And assuming that the Rockets are picking in the top five, we would like to think that they are. They'll have a 52% chance to do that. There's a good chance that the top three is probably going to be Cunningham, Mobley, Suggs. Is that fair to say that, you would say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so let's assume the Rockets have the number.
I feel like, sorry to interrupt you, but
no, go ahead.
I think Cunningham and Mobley are etched into the top two. Like, I feel like there's some argument between Suggs and some people for Green over Suggs, even though I didn't watch as much Gonzaga film as I obviously did with the Ignite. Jalen Suggs, he's a prospect that I love, but yeah.
So let's kind of look into this. I'm a long lost brother of Rafael Stone, Jeremy Stone. I have the number three pick. Give me your 60-second elevator pitch on why I should draft Jalen Green with the number three pick.
Okay, Jalen Green, the reason why you should draft him if you have the number three pick, he is a tremendous athlete, excellent burst, can, jump out of the arena, but he combines that burst with continued improvement as an off-the-dribble shooter, catch-and-shoot threat. And if you combine those two skills, burst, athleticism, with consistent shooting, you can really have something. You can have, a Zach LaVine-level player, which, would be pretty good value for a number three pick. Consistent all-star type player, even though I think Jalen Green's potential exceeds what we see from LaVine.
Yeah, and look, the number three pick is a very important pick for a Rockets fan. Look, James Harden was the number three pick. So, if I'm getting the number three pick in the draft, I want a guy like James Harden on my team. And, do you think – so, I kind of want to get, Jalen Green's ceiling out of you, if you will. Where do you think his ceiling can be? Do you think he can be a consistent starter, an all-star starter? Where do you think, best case scenario, everything goes right for Jalen Green, how does he end up?
I think he can be an all-star starter, definitely. I think he can. Just the tools I mentioned, plus the progression that he, made sorry, just had supper and it was kind of coming up. Sorry, that's kind of professional my end. But when it comes to him as a player, I do think he has all-star starter potential with the tools I mentioned, plus his continued drive to improve as a shooter and also as an on-ball defender. I was impressed with what I saw from him over the course of his time in the G League bubble when it comes to, guarding, defending the vets there. So yeah, all those tools are why I think he has upside as a all-star starter, even though I do have some worries about him when it comes to moving the ball around and facilitating.
Do you feel like he – I'm not sure how much you've looked into these top picks fit with potential teams that could draft them. How do you feel like a guy like Jalen Green would match with a guy like Kevin Porter Jr., who's already going to be in the backcourt for the Rockets next season?
I think it would be a good fit. I definitely think it would be a good fit because, you know, what, you know, before Kevin Porter Jr. went off with the Rockets and, you know, had some great games over the course of the end of the season, he was in the G League bubble with the RGV Vipers. And what I saw from him was a fantastic on-ball threat, somebody that can, you know, work as a facilitator, work with Roman, move the ball around, and also just drive to the paint, drive to the rim whenever he wants. And having somebody like that with Jalen Green that, you know, has athleticism, that, you know, can make off-ball cuts and is always a threat to cut, to, you know, make alley-oops, and also as a catch-and-shoot threat, I think having those two players together would be a good fit.
Yeah, so another thing that I think is seen as a bit of a – I don't want to say it's a bad look on the G League, or it's a bad connotation that a lot of G League players have, is that they don't play a lot of defense. And you see these G League games that, you know, balloon to, you know, 120, 130 points, 140 points. And I just want – is that a myth, or is it factor cap? Is the defense in the G League bubble is it bad? Or, and like, where would you look at Jalen Green's defense in terms of his whole repertoire?
I think that it depends on the team that you're talking about, because in the G League, the pace in general is just high. It's just an incredibly high rate. It's higher than what you see, you know, in the NBA. So, you know, higher pace, you know, obviously leads to more opportunity to score, thus more, you know, points, you know, that can be on the board. So I feel like with all that in mind, like, the defense is, you know, isn't at the level that I, you know, prefer it to be, but to say that there's no defense in the you know, in the G League would be, you know, that would be too far for me.
That's fair. One last question from me before I send it to our audience. But do you have a pro player comp for Jalen Green? What guy in the NBA do you think he resembles the most? Or you give a couple.
I just mentioned him a few minutes ago, but Zach LaVine would be a comp. Yeah, that would be a good comp.
I would not hate that, Jay.
Yeah, that's the first guy that came to my mind when you asked for comps.
Ooh, like if you think about what, like, because the thing is, a big reason why Rockets fans are really excited about Kevin Porter is because his pro player comp is James Harden. And and you can even see in some of the games that he's played this year, especially in the bubble, how he resonated with Harden's style of play, how he kind of, there were even some like mannerisms that he would have that did remind me of Harden at the beginning of his career in Houston. So, I mean, think about having like a backcourt of Harden and LaVine, like where that backcourt would rank in terms of every team in the NBA. And I'd assume that it would be towards the top of the league. So if that's the case, mm-hmm. I'm not complaining.
I think it would be at the, you know, top of the league if, you know, Harden was with LaVine rather than with, you know, Kyrie.
Yeah. I mean, that is going to have to, there's a lot that has to happen in order for that to work. Obviously, mm-hmm. we're not saying that Kevin Porter is going to reach James Harden's potential, and we're not saying that Jalen Green is going to reach Zach LaVine's potential, but it's just...
Yeah, we're talking about players that are right now, like, what, 19 with, you know, Jalen Green and, what, 21 with Kevin Porter. So these are so extremely
like we got time
players that still have a a lot of time and a lot of room, you know, to grow as players.
Yeah. I'm gonna bring Ryan up to the stage now. He's one of our loyal listeners here at the Dream Take. Ryan, what's happening?
What's up, guys?
Hey, Ryan. Nothing much. Honestly, we're not talking about a Rockets loss, so I'm actually doing pretty good.
That's good for a while, and I'd say so.
Yeah. Do you have a question for Dakota tonight?
I just wanted to talk about Jalen Green for a second. I listened to other Rockets podcasts, and one of the hosts of my podcast, he had a guest on his podcast, and he had said that he thinks Jalen Green could be better than Evan Mobley in the draft. And I don't really know. I haven't really seen a whole lot of film from Jalen Green, but who knows?
I feel like there's a chance of that, but Mobley is if there wasn't a player that was his specialist, Cade Cunningham in this draft, Evan Mobley would, you know, definitely be a bona fide number one, you know, in most years because of his length, because of how fluid he is as a player, how skilled he is on offense, and also what he's able to do on the defense. And like defense, I think, is what separates somebody like, you know, Mobley and Cunningham from, you know, a player like Jalen Green.
Gotcha. See, because I've been going back and forth if Houston does get the second overall pick, I've been leaning more towards Jalen Suggs, but then at the same time, when I look at the Rockets' current roster, Christian Wood needs more help next to him as well. So, I mean, I'm fine with Jalen Suggs, but or with Evan Mobley, but, well, either way, I mean, I don't really care which one, but whatever is more helpful for Christian Wood because he needs more load.
But I have a question for you and for the rest of the guys here when it comes to, like, defensive philosophy. I mean,
looks like Dakota's cutting out.
Currently here, are. But, would you just want to go with the best player available rather than fit? Because, like, drafting for, you know, 3, 4, 5 years down the line, and you don't know if Christian Wood is going to be there, you know, at that time, or whoever that's on the 2021 team or 21-22 team is going to be there, you know, 3, 4 years down the line when you're still trying to develop, you know, the player that you drafted, you know, with the top 5 pick.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. I'll bring this as an example, right? You look at the Luka draft, right? 8-1 first. And I think that year, 8-1
can you guys hear me?
Number one that year. Yeah, we can. But thank you, Dakota. But
Eaton did, yeah.
I think in terms of that draft, the Ayton draft,
okay, guys, cut on to me for a while.
No problem. We got you.
We heard most of what you said, I think. So there we go with technical difficulties with Coda. But to kind of bring this back on track, we look at that draft. Ayton was the consensus number one. The Kings, they had the number two pick. They could have gone with Luka. They went with Marvin Bagley. And they kind of said the reason why they went that direction is because he was – a different, like he was a better fit for that team. But in reality, look who's the stupid one, the Kings. Yet again, they made a dumb mistake. And the thing is, I don't want the Rockets to be the team that continues to make those dumb mistakes in the draft. That is how these teams do not get better. How they stay in the lottery for years and years to come. Detroit has a strong history of doing that. The Kings have a strong history of that. The Timberwolves do as well. The Rockets, in order for them to get out of this rebuild as soon as possible, they need to go with the best player available every time, in my opinion.
So let me ask you this, Jeremy. I don't know if we have Dakota, but, I mean, let's say the Rockets are at number 3 because that's the theme of the night. after doing your, you know, your research, let's say Mobley and Cunningham go one and two. Obviously, Cunningham's going to go one, Mobley goes two. Rockets are at number three. Talent-wise, if you're taking the best player on the board, who are you taking?
You're taking Suggs.
Okay. I think that there is a case there for Jalen Green. And there even may be a case for Kuminga. You know, we're going to talk a little bit more about Kuminga once Dakota gets back to us. But yeah, I think in order that's something the Rockets can do. And in my opinion, I do think that it is closer between Suggs and Green than a lot of people think. You know, I think Jalen Suggs is the bigger name, and a lot of people, he's much more well known, I think, than Jalen Green is because of his heroics in March Madness and because he was on, you know, such a great team. And look, Jalen Green was also on a really solid, he was on a professional team. So, but they didn't get as much exposure as Jalen Suggs did. So I think, you know, you might see Jalen Suggs get a lot more attention in the before teams are really scouting the draft. But once the season kind of dissipates and the draft coverage starts to intensify, it wouldn't surprise me if you start to see Jalen Green kind of pop in at the number three spot in a couple of those. That's what Dakota just mentioned earlier in the show. So I think that's the case. But also, if you look at the talent, I don't think there's enough for me to say that Jalen Suggs is for sure the number three guy versus Jalen Green or Jonathan Kuminga.
Yeah.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we can hear you now.
All right, I'm back. Sorry.
Right, welcome back.
It cut out when I was starting to talk about draft philosophy.
No worries.
Yeah, well, we're gonna move on to Jonathan Kuminga now. I think it's a good place for us to kind of reset. But Ryan, okay. Thank you so much. I'm gonna send you back to the gulag now, but we'll bring up people for Kuminga questions in a little bit.
Can I make one more comment?
Sure, go ahead.
Sure.
I just think so if you get the chance to get Jalen Suggs, I just feel like he could run the floor probably a little bit better than Jalen Green could. So I think that's why you would, if you don't get the opportunity to go for Evan Mobley, you take Jalen Suggs at number three.
Yeah, I think that's a fair.
Yeah, point. I definitely think that's a reasonable thought. Definitely is.
Yeah, thanks, Ryan. Appreciate it. We'll probably bring you back if you want to come up a little bit later.
Of course, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, man.
All right, so now we're going to transition into our talk on Jonathan Kuminga, who also was part of G League Ignite, is from the Democratic Republic of the Congo, and another example of how the league and the game is growing outside of the United States. So, Dakota, again, I'm going to give you the same question I did with Jalen Green. 60-second elevator pitch. If I have the number three or if I have the number four pick, why am I taking Jonathan Kuminga with that pick?
Okay, so it would be tough for me to make the elevator pitch because I, after everything I saw of him at the G League bubble, I am not convinced about using, you know, a pick on him over somebody like Suggs or somebody like Green, because I think he's more raw than the other two players. Like, the thing about Kuminga that is apparent is his athleticism, is his burst, is his, you know, size when it comes to being able to get to the basket. But everything else is the question mark, is his shooting, his ability to, you know, facilitate. Just him when it comes to being, you know, a skill player, which, you know, makes sense because he only played 3 years of high school hoops before, you know, graduating early to, you know, make it to the, you know, to G League Ignite. So I feel like he's more of a developmental piece than somebody like Green, or, you know, especially like somebody like Suggs, I feel like is, you know, a plug and play type of player.
Do you, you know, looking at, you know, I think you touched on some of the, not the more negative parts of his game, but his ability on the defensive end, I think he is going to definitely be a top 10 pick, but do you think that the tools are there for him to eventually become an all NBA type of defensive player? Because I think that's what the team is going to look at.
Yeah.
I feel like most quickly.
The tools in terms of like his build, his just, you know, like I feel like he could be a very, very good defensive player, but like I feel like there is I feel like right now I feel like his ceiling right now from what I saw of him is more Pascal Siakam. Like okay. a Pascal Siakam that can move with the ball in his hands, that can handle the ball, which is an all-star, you know? But I'm not sure if he can be that number one or, you know, number two scoring option for a title, you know, contending team. But I also feel like he can, you know, with the tools that he has and with his, you know, his work ethic on the, you know, defensive end of the ball and just like his work ethic in general in terms of improvement. Like he improved from high school to the Ignite when it comes to developing more as a secondary facilitator. But yeah, like I said, I feel like he's more raw than the other players that we've been talking about.
And the thing with that, I really like that you said that because, you know, I'll bring it back. We've seen okay. so many examples of guys that are just raw and have raw, like rawness might be exactly what the Rockets need because the Rockets, you know, their timeline is not next year. It's not the year after that. It's six, 7, 8 years down the line, possibly. And I'd rather have the best player 6 or 7. I'd rather have the best player 6 to 7 years from now. And if that person happens to be the sixth or seventh best player today, than having the best player for next year or and the sixth or seventh best player 6 or 7 years from now. So, and we've looked at, you know, guys like Jokic, Luka, that just have. Giannis is the perfect first example of this recent generation of these international players that don't have a lot of, you know, experience before they come into the league. Joel Embiid, another great example.
So, I want to interrupt you. Like Jonathan Kuminga is somebody that went to the high school circuit. Like he was born in Congo, but he went to the high school circuit. Like he was in, you know, he played, you know, in summer hoops with a sneaker company like everybody else. He was, you know, a top five on 24/7 Sports on ESPN. So he sounded like he's going, you know, he, you know, trained to work with an international team before, you know, coming over like, you know, Giannis did or Jokic or Luka did.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Joel Embiid kind of fit that, if you will. So, and he went to, you know, a blue blood in Kansas. And, you know, so, and that was also part of it, too, is that Joel was too raw. And that's like why you didn't want to pick him. But the Sixers, which I think for the next several years, I think using the Sixers model of rebuilding is definitely going to be something that we are going to look at in order for us to kind of compare the Rockets rebuild. So they went with a guy that, you know, Joel Embiid didn't even play the first 2 years. Not to say that, you know, Kuminga will obviously play next year unless, yeah. you know, a freak injury happens. But they got the most raw guy in that draft, and they're the ones who are benefiting from that draft more than anybody because they got the best player in the draft. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
I think for me, it's okay if the Rockets take a guy that might not necessarily be the best player right now, but if he can still, you know, reach a higher peak in the next several years, that might be they have time and the resources to work on a guy that could be a project for them right now.
Mm-hmm. Like I feel like at his peak, Jonathan Kuminga can be that guy that will have a, you know, high rebound rate, but can also move the ball down the floor, you know, in transition with the ball in his hands, work as a distributor, you know, push the ball to the rim and, you know, hit the, and, you know, hopefully, you know, his shooting has been, you know, developing. I feel like there's more developing that has to happen, but, you know, hit the occasional, you know, pull up three. Like I said, like a Pascal Siakam type of player.
With the insight that you have, you know, in this draft process, do you feel like not only the Rockets, but do you feel like the top five of this draft is loaded with potential all-star talent, or do you think that, you know, after the first, let's say, picks, it does take a step down with the type of player that these teams are going to get?
I feel like after Cade and after Mobley, it takes a step down, only because Cade Cunningham and Evan Mobley are such fantastic prospects. They're just they have skill sets that are just incredibly made for this game, and, you know, are two players that can, you know, change the course of a franchise. You know, after that, next three guys are, you know, in Suggs, in Green, and Kuminga are guys that I can see be, you know, consistent all-stars, right? So you go from, you know, franchise altering players like Cunningham and Mobley to, you know, all consistent all-stars. You know, there's, you know, a step down, you know, from, you know, those two groups, but it's like, you'd still be fine with having, you know, a guy on your team that is, you know, odds on favor to make an all-star team on a, you know, consistent basis.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm going to open up the floor to questions for Dakota on Kuminga now. I think that, you know, I think with Kuminga, though, even if he isn't necessarily the most NBA-ready, he's not more NBA-ready than Jalen Green, than Jalen Suggs. I think, personally, I think if you want to look at, like, fits and stuff, the Rockets need rebounding. Like, that is probably the one biggest need that they have right now, on top of shooting as well. I mean, three-point shooting is probably the – three-point shooting and rebounding, in my opinion, are, like, 1A and 1B in terms of, like,
things the Rockets – three-point shooting, you guys have the guy with three-point shooting in – Armani Brooks.
Yes, that is very true. But before Armani Brooks came to the Rockets, though, Dakota, they were last in 3-point percentage, and they were probably still were very close to that by the end of the season. But getting guys like Armani Brooks are definitely helpful. But adding a guy that we want shooters in this draft. We want a guy like, personally, a guy like that I would love to see is like a for those of you that, you know, watch the Grizzly series a lot, will understand this, like a Desmond Bain, like someone that is just out there simply to shoot threes and to open the floor up for the facilitator, for John Morant, for a Kevin Porter. Like, we need a guy just like Desmond Bain on this team. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, maybe we can get that a little bit later in the draft. Doesn't seem like we have a lot of Kuminga questions, but Dakota, I kind of want to utilize you while we have you just for the next couple of minutes. Obviously, there are more G League Unite guys, Isaiah Todd and Kai Soto, for example. There's a whole bevy of names as well. But is there a guy that maybe the Rockets could find in the second round that is from that G League Unite team that could benefit the Rockets or any NBA team down the line?
In terms of the Rockets and the fit that you're looking for, I feel like he's still – He's an incredibly raw player, and I honestly feel like he is going to be in the G League again, but hopefully for an affiliate. Definitely, you know, for an affiliate. But Isaiah Todd is a player. I don't have his profile in front of me. Like, I feel like he's around 6'8", 6'9". He's a player that actually, you know, passed and actually raised his stock as a prospect. When it comes to being, you know, catch and shoot threat, being able to work off the dribble a little bit. On the defensive end, it's a big concern for him, but like, as you guys are, you know, talking, you know, you need more shooters, you need more catch and shoot threats, you need guys that can you know, Based become court. Reliable three-point shooters, I feel like Isaiah Todd would be a, you know, player that you could, you know, go for late in the first or into the second round.
Yeah, the Rockets do have those two late first-round picks and some seconds as well. So,
yeah. Mike, go ahead. Dakota, I want to ask you a quick question about Cade Cunningham. Do you have, you know, in the games that I've watched of him, I mean, obviously, I think he's the best player in this draft. Do you have a player comp for a guy like Cade Cunningham? And, you know, I don't want to go back to the same question I asked before, but what do you envision if the Rockets do get the number one overall pick, how a potential backcourt of him, Kevin Porter Jr., and Cade Cunningham would look? Do you feel like they're a good fit together? Both guys at this point in their career have to have the ball in their hands to be successful, it appears. But do you think that, you know, those guys can coexist, and do you have a player comp for our listeners on what you think Cade Cunningham will be at the next level?
I am, even if I've given some player comps tonight, I am not the best when it comes to player comps, and I haven't seen Cade Cunningham at the, you know, rate that I've seen, you know, these G-League Ignite guys and, you know, some guys that I have been or will be writing about for Ridiculous Upside, like late second rounders. Like I'm the college players that I'm looking at are like potential two-way players or potential, you know, late second round players in terms of guys that are going to be in the G-League, because, you know, that's why I write about G-League. So, you know, Cade Cunningham is, you know, not a player that's, you know, on the radar when it comes to guys I want to take a, you know, deep look at, but he's definitely somebody, you know, I watch because I like watching, you know, good basketball players, and, you know, he's a great basketball player. But yeah, I think, you know, Cade Cunningham with the, you know, skill set that he has on, you know, both ends of the floor, and, you know, with his frame and, you know, with his, you know, size, I feel like, like I said earlier, him and Evan Mobley are, you know, franchise changing players, even though I have, you know, Cunningham, you know, like most people, above you know, Evan Mobley.
Sure. Yeah. Dakota, I don't want to keep you too long. I know you've, you know, went through hell and back to get with us, but we really appreciate that you stuck with us here tonight. Feel free to drop your Twitter, anything that you're working on at Ridiculous Upside, and where the listeners can find you.
You can find my Twitter at Dakota, DAKOTA_SCH, MIDT. Our Ridiculous Upside's account is at RIDIC Upside. I'm trying to figure out what to do with that account, during the off season. And because I can't post, you know, college, basketball clips on that account because of, you know, copyright issues. So, yeah. Ridiculous Upside, but also if you just want to read my work on ridiculousupside.com, like I mentioned earlier, I wrote, just finished a two-part series on Georgia Tech guard Jose Alvarado, a prospect that I really love in the sense of, like, you know, potential, you know, 2A, you know, candidates.
Yeah, thank you, Dakota. And look, as long as the Rockets are in this rebuild, we're definitely going to be having to head over to Ridiculous Upside so we can get the best coverage through these prospects.
Trying to find some, like the Rockets, your franchise, even though you've had a lot of success over the years, your franchise that has, you know, utilized the G League at a rate higher than, you know most teams out there, you know, when you guys are having, you know, consistent success with James Harden. And, you know, I can't wait to see what the franchise does now in the, you know, post Harden era, and also post, you know, Daryl Morey era, because Morey is, you know, somebody that experimented. Like, he was a big proponent. He is a big proponent of utilizing the G League when it comes to growing players and growing, you know, everybody, you know, throughout the organization. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what the, you know, what the Rockets do, you know, on the G League front, you know, moving in over the next few years with the, you know, rebuilding era that you guys have, but also with the new leadership, you know, with the new front office that you have there in Houston.
Uh-huh. All right, Dakota, thank you so much again, and I'm sure we'll hit you up soon to talk more about draft prospects.
Appreciate it, Dakota.
Yeah.
All right, and that is going to wrap it up here for this episode of The Dream Take. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at The Dream Take and at DreamShakeSBN. Be sure to also follow and subscribe to our podcast. We're going to be posting definitely weekly, likely bi-weekly during the off season. So when the Rockets take off for the summer and head to Cancun, we stay at work. In fact, we probably work even harder because these next several months, Mike, are going to be very important for the Rockets.
We stay and grind, baby. That's what we do. This is exciting, man. That gets me excited for the draft.
Yeah, that was fun. I really enjoyed talking to Dakota, and it definitely gave me more of an idea of who these two guys are. And we're going to continue doing episodes like this. Likely on Sunday or Monday, we're going to have our Gonzaga guy come in. We're still looking at fixing out who we're going to get for that episode. But we're going to bring in an expert to talk about Jalen Suggs, really dive deep into his game and what he can offer for the Rockets. So we're really excited about that. Mike, feel free to drop your Twitter so that the listeners can go find you.
BSW_MB.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Jeremy Brenner. That's JeremyBrenner. Be sure to like us on Facebook and head over to thedreamshake.com, home of all things Houston Rockets, on SBNation.com. Thank you guys so much for tuning into this episode of The Dream Take. And until next time, go Rockets!